Next are excerpts from a disciples' meeting on January 15, 1995, in Gitanagri.
I wanted to keep the momentum of the Srimad Bhagavatam compilation. So I tried to pass the word that you should bring your books. And so what I'll do is we'll go over these excerpts until 10:45 and then do our japa break. And then after that we can do just the first assignment, Bhagavad Gita writing, 8:20 and 21. As I read Srimad Bhagavatam and see how it's very meaningful in my life and necessary, then it follows that I want to tell that to others as necessary for them. But as I begin to do so, I also feel that a kind of resistance to advocating it, because it seems more important to practice it. Of course, these two things are not contradictory. You take pleasure and feel the necessity for Krishna consciousness, and then you tell others that they should also. In fact, they go well together, practice and precept. But the practice has to be kept up so constantly, otherwise you start going out on a limb, advocating what you're not doing, or talking about something you haven't attained, and so on. And even something more subtle than that, just the kind of the essential enthusiasm is that you actually can start to get the darshan of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, and how much can you tell others that they should do that, without that becoming somehow a strain on just the integrity of doing it yourself. But so then, rather than talk about how you should read, we'll just go ahead and do it. And then we'll just be doing it together, not talking about it, but we'll be doing it. So, let's see, we left off on top of page 12. Baladev was reading yesterday. Where's he? Fixing the house somewhere. Oh. No book, and way out in left field. Yeah, the material existence. The devotees all the way around here on the other side of the wall. I'll identify it first. It's Srimad Bhagavatam 1, first canto, chapter 11, verse 3. Purport.
The material existence of our present status is full of fear. Out of the four problems of material existence, namely the fear problem, the shelter problem, the food problem, and the mating problem, the fear problem gives us more trouble than the others. We're always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. The whole material existence is full of problems, and thus the fear problem is always prominent. This is due to our association with the illusory energy of the Lord. From this Maya, or external energy, yet all fear is vanished as soon as there is the sound of the Lord, represented by His holy name. as it was sounded by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the following 16 words.
All right, my comment?
I remember being impressed at this information that fear is the most prominent of the animal propensities and that it can be vanished by chanting Hare Krishna. This is why these selections of favorite phrases and purports are so valuable for our life and preaching.
This is why these selections are valuable. Just the idea of the selecting favorite passages, it brings you back to the time. This isn't my favorite pastime, my favorite passage just now reading it. That also occurs, but it refers to times that this spoke to me before. This is the living with the scriptures process. In the writing seminar, I asked devotees one exercise to write how they lived with a particular verse. We chose Api Chet Suracharo and do it in the style of my Living with the Scriptures essays. Your own life story of how this verse was meaningful to you. So these selections are all like that. That's one level of appreciating them. And the reason that it was meaningful to you before is still there. It's permanent. And so again, you touch the actual potency of this, what's being conveyed here. When I say I remember, I seem to remember reading this, if not for the first time. I was reading it once in the Boston Temple when I was there. And I seem to remember using it to maybe speaking to a large group, say, at the Sunday feast, and lecturing about this. I don't remember seeing so often Prabhupada point this out. Usually he doesn't say that one of the four animal propensities is more prominent than the other. He usually just recites them. Eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. These are four animal activities. Four activities which we share with the animals. And he usually points out how they're equally necessary and practiced, and they may be a little different, but basically they're the same, the way the animals do it and the way we do it. No matter how powerful the nation is, they're afraid. He would say, oh, the bird is eating and he's always looking, someone may come. But even a big nation like America, he said, oh, the Vietnamers may come, the Russians may come. They're thinking like that. So the fear, they're afraid. And they mate, and they sleep. Sometimes fear, or very often fear, is called defending. So here Prabhupada says, of the four, this is the most prominent. Gives us more trouble than the others. We're always fearful due to our ignorance of the next problem. There are other places where Prabhupada talks about fear. He says fear is due to not knowing the future. And fear is due to being attached to this material body, which is not permanent situation. So if everything that I hold dear depends on my keeping the life in the body, it's a very precarious situation. And so philosophically, we all have fears. And then psychologically, we have fears. Some people are more fearless, and some people are more fearful than others based on their individual, so many things. Based on their karma, but it could be based also on their physique. We also have exaggerated or unnatural fears like phobias. I know there was one devotee in ISKCON, and he was one of the Kshatriyas. He was a real powerful built devotee and a real ready to fight. they used to, in the 55th Street Temple, they used to have a squad of whenever there was trouble, the man at the front desk would call them. What were they called? Yamarajas? What? Nishringas? Squad?
They would Sri Lokeshwar would say Nishringa Dev through the loudspeaker system, and that would call everyone.
So he was one of them, and always thinking in those paramilitary terms and so on. And not a bluff, he could do it. But he was terrified of roaches. And if a roach appeared, he would jump like a girl. Or not a girl, but a fearful girl. So we have phobias that maybe when we were little children, we were around our mothers and they were very afraid of something and we got afraid of it too, and things like that. So and sometimes we'd like to keep these things secret, but they're lurking. And they're real things. We call them real fears and unreal fears. So I took solace knowing that I had fears. I lived with fears. Even that temple was threatened. Sometimes people attacked and broke in and everything, and I tried to maintain it financially. So, and Prabhupada told us that in this purport here, that the fear is vanished by chanting Hare Krishna, and by the sound of the following 16 words. You know what those words are. I end the quote here, but Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we may not be able once and for all to get rid of our fears, but as they keep coming up, we remember what to do, to think in Krishna conscious terms and to turn to Krishna. So I'm ready to move on to the next one, but I'll pause and ask if there's any questions. Yeah.
I really like this purport, just the way that Prabhupada builds this word usage, coming to the point that as these were sounded by Lord Chaitanya, it's just like such a triumphant emergence of the Sankirtan movement and, you know, so much power. And I was thinking when you were describing that about how we would have the big Harinams in New York City and the huge wall of material energy would just be like smashed
when you
have like so many devotees.
Yeah, the sound of the Lord vanishes fear. Remind you of that Bengali drama about Lord Chaitanya, which has a first act where the Kali is there with sin and lust and everything. They all say, "Don't worry, Kali, we will defeat, we will entangle everyone." And they're all very assured that they're going to defeat goodness in the age of Kali. And then suddenly you hear the Sankirtan, the sound of the Lord is coming, and all these demoniac persons become very afraid. Yes?
Just to make a comment about how out of the four problems of life, fear being the most prominent, that actually this world is Kunta, full of anxiety, and Vaikuntha, the spiritual world being free from that anxiety and fear.
The very nature of the world is. So we say defending, and so Prabhupada points out that even with defense, with a built-up defense, it still doesn't become Vaikuntha, it's still Kunta. Like the way the world has built up now, the ultimate defense, and the nuclear equipped nations, they're so well defended, but they can't defend themselves from annihilation, either by the other enemy's weapons or even by their own weapons coming back to them in some form of clouds, or the nuclear winter and so on. So the more powerful defense, you're still afraid of your own or your enemy's defense system. Well, there's no shelter but Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, let's read another one.
In the case of devotional service to the Lord, there is no question of demand from either side. It is all a sign of pure love and affection between the Lord and the devotee. The Lord is the Supreme Father of all living beings, and therefore those who are conscious of this vital relation with God can make filial demands upon the Father, and the Father is pleased to supply the demands of such obedient sons without bargaining. The Lord is just like the desire tree, and from Him everyone can have everything by the causeless mercy of the Lord. As the Supreme Father, the Lord, however, does not supply to a pure devotee what is considered to be a barrier to the discharge of devotional service.
111.5 purport. And the comment?
Often Prabhupada says that to look at God as the Father is inferior because people draw service from Him rather than want to serve Him. But in this purport, a more favorable description of God the Father is given by a pure devotee who doesn't demand of his Father.
So that perked my interest. We have to read these purports thoroughly, not just pick up some and then think that that's the absolute and there's no exceptions or no shades of meaning. But often Prabhupada will say that he will give credit to, say, a religion like Christianity, where God the Father is a concept is prominent. So this is very good, but actually, this is in terms of a higher and higher understanding of God. It's not a very advanced understanding because, and he gives a human example. The father is usually approached by the son to please give me this, give me that, and draws on the father. And so, better is to have the relationship of God as your son, or as your friend, or as your lover. So we may just think to disregard the God the Father completely. But here he says it doesn't have to be like that, that the son looks upon the father as dad, can I have this, can I have that? And that's what really he thinks of the father as the person he can exploit and get things from. But there can be another kind of relationship. Where the son completely depends on the father without making demands. And my father will take care of me. Whatever he does. Prabhupada sometimes explains that like a little child. He says the child is completely dependent on the parent, especially when they're very young. And he doesn't have to ask anything of the parent. The parent may neglect, the parent may take care of, but he's simply dependent whatever the child does with him. There are some nice verses describing Prahlad Maharaj, and he has a kind of relationship like this with Krishna. It's described before he has his darshan with Lord Nrisimhadev, when it's describing the pure nature of the pure devotee Prahlad, that he was like a little child and always thinking if the parent comes, then he becomes jubilant. Oh, my Lord is coming, my Lord is coming. And he laughs and is happy. And then if the parent goes away, then he cries. He's so dependent, but not asking for service. So with such a child, the father always wants to take care of the child, a loving child. The child wants to render service. So, Dharandath, you were bringing up the point yesterday. We were talking about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Dwarka and so on. You're saying, yes, but when you chant, you also like to think of Krishna's nearness to you and in all things. So these are not incompatible. The Krishna Leela, as we get it in Srimad Bhagavatam from the six Goswamis, and turning to Krishna, as we read in the previous verse, in fear, please protect me, or turning to Krishna as the Father, in pure devotional service, it's possible. But in such a relationship, the Supreme Father will not give to the child what's not good for his pure devotional service. Any comments on that? Yeah?
In the section of the Gita where four kinds of pious people who surrender to Krishna, and the next verse, Krishna saying, but one who's in knowledge of me, I consider to be best because he's just like my own soul. Prabhupada writes in that purport how that even those who want something, they're also magnanimous because they go to the Father, they go to Krishna to ask for something, and when they get it, they become so happy that they too become pure devotees in due course of time. Hmm. So I was thinking that in terms of you have to, you know, have so much yukta vairagya, utilize things or dovetail things, so we might not know whether it's we're demanding something or we want something which is inordinate or unnecessary, but or something that, you know, might be good in terms of like our freedom of how we express, and also kind of what we were talking about in Boston, spontaneity versus strict acceptance and rejection based on higher authority.
So you're asking that how do we know when we need something to ask?
When it's best not to ask, but just to depend. Hmm.
Well, he says here that those who are conscious of the vital relationship with God, they can make filial demands. But it would be for something for devotional service. Or just try to accept what comes easily. In the chapter about householder life, the householder, Narada advises Yudhisthira, the householder, for earning his income, he should accept what comes easily. So, don't ask Krishna for too many things. That will come according to our karma, but just ask how to serve Krishna. I mainly wanted to point out to myself and now share it with you this like a addition to what we call the normal philosophy that we may say we're not interested in this concept of God, but he Krishna is the Father. It's not like an imagination. Aham bija padapita, I am the sea giving father, everyone. Aham adirhi devanam. In Hari Sari's diary, he points out in the last volume, from Washington to New York and on, Prabhupada was hammering on this simple analogy of mother and father, and that he said that there must be a mother and a father for every living being, and as in human or as living entities have mother and father, so this creation. The mother is nature. You say mother nature. Nature produces so many things. And the scientists say that it's done automatically. So Prabhupada's logical argument against this was, how can the mother produce without the father? There's no example. You say that the nature, or which is akin to mother, produces without any cause. But every experience shows that the mother requires uniting with the Father. So the Father is Krishna. And there again, he was pointing out Krishna's role as the Father of all living beings. And I was also pointing out yesterday how Prabhupada is teaching us all different ways of understanding Krishna. It's like you know that word pan? It's used like pan-American, pan, you said pan-Vaishnavism. Is that pan means that you have appreciation for everything within that category, or you bridge categories and appreciate them all. So you could say a pan-Vaishnavism would be having appreciation that there are four sampradaya and seeing the good in all of them. Which Lord Chaitanya did. He took this from one sampradaya, he took this from another sampradaya, he took this from another sampradaya. So Prabhupada taught a kind of Krishna consciousness where we, his followers, his students, developed appreciation for Krishna as father, certainly Krishna as son, Krishna as lover, Krishna as Nrisingadeva and so on. Although our sampradaya is Gaudiya sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya, combination of Radha and Krishna. It's not a narrow-minded one. It encompasses everything. That's the real understanding of Krishna. Govindamari purasam tamaham bhajami. And it's very enlivening to understand how Prabhupada is doing this. So he's God the Father also. And we should feel confident to have such a Father, Supreme Personality of God, to take care of us. All right, let's go do another one. Maybe this will be the last one for this class.
Lord Krishna's attraction is so powerful that once being attracted by him, one cannot tolerate separation from him. Why is this so? Because we are all eternally relating with him. This illusory energy, or apparent maya, has to be removed. And when it is so done, the living entity can see the Lord face to face, and all his miseries are at once removed.
Purport 1.11.10. Comment?
Sometimes we may look at a passage we have underlined and wonder why we picked it. It depends on the receptivity of our reading. Practically every sentence could be saved. This section, when I read it, made me awake again to the sense that we have a relationship with Krishna. This can be entered more and more and thought about and is very dear and is the most important thing in life, our relationship with Lord Krishna.
So one thing in my comment, I'm touching on this very nature of how certain things speak to us or jump out to us, grab us as we're reading. It may be different things at different times. But it suddenly it goes like from the theoretical to something else. Suddenly you know, something within ourselves says, oh yeah, that's true. I have a relationship with Krishna. And we get immediately nourished from it. We feel relief and so on, happiness. And because it's really meaningful. So those moments, the more we can have moments like that in reading, that's what it's all about. It's not just an exercise. I did my reading. I did my rounds. But to actually get these connections. So the best way to do it is to read as much as possible. Like Prabhupada said that scientists who were always going in the lab and working, the super soul gives the rascal an opportunity, and for all his tapasya, he lets him discover something. And so, but another way to analyze that phenomena is that scientist who's always working, he's more likely to find the sudden combination. He's trying every combination. He's always trying. But he's going to have that stroke of luck or inspiration. Not that somebody who never does anything, he suddenly gets it. He's always in the field, and he's likely to see all the things, and it'll happen to him. So, or say like a bird watcher, if he's always looking for birds, he'll see the rare birds. And the Srimad Bhagavatam reader, the more he's reading, then he'll get these moments that this is really speaking to me, Krishna speaking to me. So in this case, he says, and Prabhupada, he's not like, you know, there are long desert patches and then he says something significant, but he's just always saying it like that. And it's just a matter of our tuning in. And even when we can take solace in the fact that when we tune out, it's not that, I missed the significant thing he said. Now I'm going to have to wait a long time before he says something significant again, before that rare bird appears. But no, I lost my attention, so now if I get back in, it's there again. I just have to see it. So here, so these are very personal things, and I can't always ask you to feel what I felt. I can't even ask myself to feel it again in the exact same way. This whole exercise is an invitation to you to read and meet Krishna in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada, on behalf of Krishna, Prabhupada's dear friend, who is very dear to Krishna on this earth, is telling us that we can see Krishna face to face and all our miseries will be removed. the soul within hears with real faith and says, yes, I believe this, I want this. And those are the cherished moments in our Shravanam Kirtanam. Not just ourself, our material intelligence and ego reading along for various dutiful motives or mixed motives, but the hungry soul, the deprived soul, the pure soul, can more and more from time to time see Krishna, and all its miseries will be removed. And as we discussed about the fear problem, it's not going to be removed by any other method. So people don't always see these connections. A few years ago, I was giving a series of talks on Krishna Leela from the Krishna book at Jagar Sundar's house, and devotees were coming from the Baltimore area, Washington area. And I was basically just reciting the pastime with some comment. And it wasn't unusual that questions devotees would say, we like this, but I have to ask, you know, there's a feeling that what has this got to do with my life? You know, I'm out there all day long. I'm working. I'm dealing with this and that, the material energy. Then to hear about this curly-haired, blue-haired, bluish boy and tossing the donkeys up into the tree, and it's very delightful. But then, what has it got to do with me, with my relationship with my wife and my childhood traumas and the bills I'm trying to pay? I don't see the relation. But there is a relation, and because we have a relationship with Krishna. This illusory energy or the curtain of Maya has to be removed, and when it is done, the living entity can see the Lord face to face, and all his miseries are at once removed. So we're running here and there in the material world and forgetting our dear most friend, Krishna. And we can hardly imagine that the real core of all of our problem is our not being able to bear the separation from Krishna, and we're just like driven further and further away into forgetfulness. And that's what's making us really so unhappy. We're not really working on the problem at all. And that's why Prabhupada was, he said, they're all rascals, all nonsense. People are, like in American Congress, they're trying to work on the problems, you know. No fooling around, we're going to work on the problems. And those other people, they weren't working on the problems, we're going to work on the problems. But nobody's really working on the problems. So at least we should be enlightened in our own lives and not be like that. Okay, that's enough.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.